change, my dear. And it seems not a moment too soon.
Okay, welcome to the very first Casterverse podcast. Sit back, relax, fix yourself a drink, and enjoy the show. I am Brian Terranova from Casterverse.com, and with me is Christian Colley, Casterverse editor.
Hi there.
Howdy.
How are you doing?
I'm swell. Yourself?
I'm swell.
Oh, keen to have you here. Listen, I understand we're recording a podcast for our website.
As you might have guessed, that was the intro from the very, very first podcast with a K, recorded back in 2007 at the height of the David Tennant era of Doctor Who. It was hosted by myself, Christian Colley, and my good friend, Brian Terranova, who I am very sad to share with you, dear listener, has this past week decided to step down from his future involvement on the podcast with a K, which gives me the opportunity to do something slightly self-indulgent and just talk about some of the great things that we've done together despite being separated by thousands of miles of ocean. I first encountered Brian back in 2005, shortly after launching Casterbris.com with illustrator and web designer Anthony Dry. Brian got in touch. I'm not sure how he encountered us, first of all, initially, but he got in touch via email offering his services as a contributor. And as I was the sole writer at that point, which is a little unfair to Anthony, I was the sole writer at that point, having extra people involved sounded like a great idea. So Brian came on board almost immediately, and he was basically the associate editor, and he had a very special role at Casterbris over the years, all the way up until its sale in 2015. Brian's input helped us to take the site in various directions. He was a great sounding board. That was his real strength. He's got a good creative mind, and he's a good decision maker. There are several things that we did at Casterbris that probably wouldn't have done if Brian hadn't been right there holding a metaphorical hand. There was a transition from just having feature articles to doing news pieces. That happened around 2007. Prior to that, we basically had news digests daily, but around 2007, it was decided to have individual news posts, which pretty much sent Casterbris into the stratosphere as far as Doctor Who websites are concerned. Brian contributed to a few of them, but they were mostly me and then later on the news team. If Brian hadn't have thought it was a good idea, we wouldn't have done it. At this point, it was pretty much Brian and myself running the site, so there was a good collaboration between us. The same goes for actually building the news team and widening the team as it became more apparent what the demands were of running a daily site. Because, you know, with daily articles, it stops being a website and becomes a blog. It has that daily element to it. It was also in 2007 that we first had the idea of doing a comic strip, but that would go on the back burner for a bit whilst we did the first few podcasts. Come 2008 and the announcement of a hiatus for Doctor Who in 2009, or a large gap with a few specials, we decided that was the time to do a comic strip. A few ideas were tossed around, and we eventually, the two of us, came up with the idea of Time Leech. It was a 10th Doctor story featuring a time-bending, time-eating creature called a Time Leech. It also introduced a new companion for the Doctor and was kind of our attempt to bridge a gap, just stick a story in that last year of the 10th Doctor's life. Amazingly, it got picked up by Warp editor Gareth Cavanagh for inclusion in the magazine, and we ran it as a competition as well to find an illustrator. It all went really well, and we even had a former Doctor Who magazine editor John Freeman involved to help edit the script into shape. It was a lot of fun, but it wouldn't have happened again without Brian. and the podcast. Back in 2007, we decided that we wanted to do something a bit different on Casturbus. Doing a podcast was the answer. And it gave Brandon and I the opportunity to get together every few weeks and talk for just a few minutes, probably 10, 15 minutes in those early days. Just talk about Doctor Who, just be a little bit silly. Which is probably an understatement for those early podcasts. And then it was down to Brian to edit those casts. When the Matt Smith era of Doctor Who came along, by that time we weren't really doing many podcasts, and it wasn't until 2011 that James McLean got involved and basically revived the podcast with a K, and brings us pretty much to the situation where we are today with the podcast with a K, Coaxial, and Beyond Casturbus podcasts, and James's own podcast with John Kenneth Muir. I've known Brian for 12 years now. We live on opposite sides of the Atlantic Ocean. I reside in a slightly stormy part of the Northeast. Brian lives in Florida, which is nice most of the time. Yet somehow we've managed to build a friendship, and we've met a few times. I think it's three times now we've met, two conventions and a trip about 2010 to the UK from Brian. And this, one of those great things about the internet is that you can meet people that you would never have met. You can get along with them as if you've known them all your life. Brian and I certainly got on very well during our time working together, and I would work with him on anything, anytime. He's a great guy, he has great ideas, he's creative, and he's just a very funny chap. You only have to listen to the podcast to know how much he loves Doctor Who, how much he loves Doctor Who done right, importantly. Over the past few years, it is no secret that Brian's passion for Doctor Who has been tempered slightly. However, these things are cyclical, and I know that Brian still loves classic Doctor Who. He still loves Doctor Who up until the end of the David Tennant era, and probably a little bit of the Matt Smith era as well. I do not wish to speak for him, and I won't speak for him, but I will say this to him. Anytime Brian wants to come back on a podcast with a K, he is extremely welcome. We might, you know, we might get him back as a guest one day. Who knows? But from now on, it will be James and myself pushing forward for the foreseeable future with the podcast with a K. I'm going to finish with one of my favourite moments in which, from a very early podcast with a K, in which Brian demonstrates his, which is a skill that you don't hear on a podcast very often, and you know, we were doing material that was very, very silly. I would like to say that Brian is a lot better than he thinks he is. The way he handles this next moment of abject buffoonery from myself, he plays it absolutely straight. It's like having a straight man. He's so dry and so funny. He really handles this really well. He basically, you know, I'm the one overacting. He steals it, as far as I'm concerned. Brian Terranova, we salute you. Don't be a stranger.
Okay, here we are live today in Anfield Plain. We are in the middle of the park. We are seated on a park bench. Next to me on one side, I have a Dalek. And next to me on the other side, I have Mr. Edgar Rice Paper, the man who denies that Daleks can fly. Mr. Paper, how are you today?
Oh, it's all right. Yeah, not bad yourself. Yeah.
Pretty good, thank you. Yeah. Now, explain to me this fascination you have with the fact that Daleks can't fly.
Well, it's not so much a fascination, it's more of a realization that the rest of the English-speaking world seems to have completely denied in some moment of self-denial, if you like.
Okay, but we have seen them fly. You've seen them fly. In the TV show, they've flown.
No, it's just an optical illusion, that's all. Yeah, I mean, scourge of the galaxy, aren't they? Okay. Devastators of the universe.
And you think that they're fooling us into thinking that, making us think that they can fly so that we'll be more afraid of them.
Of course, yes, that's the reason, doesn't it? I mean, just
not
look at this
really.
Thing here.
Okay, no, that doesn't stand to reason for me. I mean, you've seen them, you know, since what? Their second appearance in Doctor Who? I mean, how else could they get upstairs if they can't fly?
Oh, it's just because there's so many of them. They're just fooling you to thinking they've got down the stairs. You know, there's just another one pops up where you think the stairs ended. It's an optical illusion, like I said. They're just fooling you. Look, I mean, these things don't fly, listen. They're solid. It's not going to fly.
Right, but that one's just a prop.
Yeah, and?
Okay, but what I'm saying is you have, okay, you know, you have a Dalek. You said one just appears, you know, where the stairs end. Well, how does it get upstairs, then? If
it doesn't get upstairs.
Fly.
It's there to start with. That's what I'm saying here. It's an optical illusion. You don't fly upstairs flying. Where they teach you, son, eh?
I'm still not following you. How did it get upstairs? You said it's there to start. So what, they make them upstairs?
Well, obviously.
Well, then how did they get upstairs?
What need does a Dalek need for climbing stairs? Exactly.
Well, they fly.
If a Dalek wants to get to the top floor, he's just going to blow down the building and trundle into the top floor when it hits the base.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Well, we've never really seen that happen, actually. They've always just kind of been upstairs, you know?
Well, there's lots of things we haven't seen happen, have we? We haven't seen the fall and rise of the Roman Empire. We haven't seen the glittering cresta of a mountain wave as it snatches at the orange misty glow on the planet of Zone A20.
Okay, I don't quite know how we got there, but we're talking about the fact that Daleks can fly. You seem to be the only one here in all the history of the Doctor Who world that doesn't seem to believe this, and I'm not exactly buying your explanation as to why they can't fly.
Well, it's not going to fly. Look, listen, it's solid.
Right, okay, we...
Now, I've done this before. I've done this before, and I've proved to everyone it's not going to fly.
What have you done before?
Well, I've done an experiment, haven't I? I've done an experiment to prove that this thing won't fly.
You've done an experiment,
yeah?
Okay.
Oh, yeah, of course I have. Now, and I thought it was a pretty good idea, really, under the circumstances, after I got a phone call from your flatulence researcher, Gerald.
Yes, Gerald.
That it would be a good idea to reproduce my experiment in similar conditions, the outdoors, as we are here in Anfield Plain, and make in inverted commas, the Dalek fly.
Okay.
So
again, that's just a prop.
Yeah, that's right. So.
Okay.
I'm going to.
Go on.
So I'm going to not make, as it were, the Dalek fly. Are you ready?
Oh yeah, amaze me.
Okay. Fly! Fly! Fly!
Are you done yet?
Fly!
No.
Fly! 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 Fly!
Edgar!
Fly!
Edgar!
Fly.
Edgar!
Fly! 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 Fly!
Right. That's not working.
Fly!
Edgar, it's not gonna fly.
Fly! 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 It's not working, see? It's not fly.
Right, again, that one, Edgar, is just a prop.
Well, I mean, that's what I've come to expect from this sort of, like, ham-fisted, lily-livered, sort of nonsensical interview manner that you've been cultivating on these podcasts of yours. I don't know why anyone bothers listening to you anyway. I'm off now, I've had enough of it. I'll see you. Yeah, bye.
Elevate!
Whoa!
Exterminate!
Whoa! I thought this thing was a prop! Cut the feed! Cut the feed! This is over! Cut the feed!
Well, that was a...
This is a Beyond Casterbrus podcast. Available on iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher.com, Player FM, and BeyondCasterbrus.com.
Oh, never say nothing.